Well, things are heating up in a Michigan federal court around the big lie. Talking about the lawyers Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, they are facing some serious sanctions. Rudy has already had his law license suspended in New York State because of the big lie from last November.
I can prove to you that he won Pennsylvania by 300,000 votes. I can prove to you that he won Michigan by probably 50,000 votes. When I went to bed on election night, he was ahead in all those states, every single one of those states. How is it they all turned around? Every single one of them turned around.
Well, the mega legal eagles are paying a price for not lying on cable news, who cares, not lying on talk radio, who cares, but lying to judges and not having a case prepared. Judges don't like that.
We're going to win this election. We've actually won it. Just a matter of counting the votes fairly.
The courts are cracking down on the cracking lawyers to the tune. They brought 65 post-election lawsuits. They lost 64 for lack of evidence and other legal flaws. Let's welcome to the program to discuss this. She's an author, legal analyst, constitutional law expert, professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law. Kimberly Whaley is here. Professor, did all the aforementioned lawyers, the legal eagles, did they assume that appearing on cable news or talk radio indemnified them from following the rules of the courtroom and the rules that judges put in place?
You know, it seems to be a massive slippery slope of lack of accountability for false statements, starting with the last president, frankly, 30,000 lies, according to the Washington Post. And it's trickled down into the U.S. court system. I think people are used to having no accountability for this stuff and with, you know, in our social media age. And as I wrote for Politico months ago on this very topic, between politicians and judges, is that judges are bound by rules of evidence. They're bound by rules of law and procedure. And if the judges step outside those boundaries, they will get reversed on appeal. And judges don't like that. And so they hold court, they hold attorneys' feet to the fire because it affects their own reputations. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing these judges say, listen, you all duped us and we're not going to stand for it. At least we want to hear more about it. You're going to have to give a reason why you tried to pull the wool over our eyes. Otherwise, we're going to penalize you. And I think we'll see that, frankly, coming out of this Michigan court.
Professor, explain to my listeners what Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure means.
Okay, so Rule 11 is what I tell my students, a stop and think rule for lawyers. And every state procedural system has an equivalent of Rule 11. It essentially means if you're going to submit something to a court, if you're going to put your signature on something and then file it or advocate what you put in writing with your signature, you are basically swearing or attesting to the fact that you did some good faith sort of background factual digging to make sure that what you're alleging has some reasonable basis in fact. Likewise, if you're going to sign something and file it with the court, Rule 11 says you're certifying that you did your basic homework and looked up the law to make sure there's a legal basis for what you are about to say. And then the last piece, which is rarely used, but I think actually applies here, is you're certifying that you're not using the courts for some improper purpose, like to harass someone or to gain some kind of tactical advantage. And if the court finds that you either submitted something without having done your homework on the facts, on the law, or it's for some improper purpose, the court can sanction you. And that can be anywhere from paying the other side's attorney's fees to paying a fine into the court. Or I've even seen courts do things like make lawyers go to ethics classes and beef up on the rules that apply to them as lawyers in court.
When lawyers go to ethics classes, do they vaporize after they walk through the door?
You know, I hope not. I mean, this is one of these things that I think it comes as a surprise to a lot of students that I have. They walk in the door thinking their job is to zealously advocate. You know, we see it on TV. This is my client. But that's actually not entirely correct. The lawyer has limits on what the lawyer can do. And sometimes the hardest thing for a lawyer to do is tell a client that, listen, I'm not going to make that argument because I can't. I've taken, my license depends on my, you know, having accurate facts and accurate legal representations to the court. And that's what we're seeing now with these Kraken lawyers.
Talking about the Kraken lawyers, the mega legal eagles that are paying a price for lying to judges. This is Professor Kimberly Whaley. She's an author, legal analyst. She's a professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law. So in the Supreme Court, it's not as if you're doing damage just to perhaps somebody, your opponent in court or even your client. If you are diluting the power of the court itself, that can cost you some serious money. The Supreme Court already ruled on that back in the 90s, didn't they?
Yeah, well, the court is basically, in that case, upheld a sanctions ruling in the amount of $1 million in attorney's fees and gave the rationale for it. So I've written a couple books, one called How to Read the Constitution and Why, What You Need to Know About Voting and Why, and I tell people the most critical aspect of it is the and why. And so in that quote that you mentioned, what the Supreme Court is doing is explaining why there are these sanctions rules. And the court's really saying if we allow lawyers to file garbage, to file, make factual allegations that they have no reason to believe are accurate, then that makes a mockery of the entire judicial system. And it's impossible ultimately to administer justice. It becomes unfair for everyone. And I've had some feedback on the piece that you mentioned in The Hill, and one person emailed me and said, well, shouldn't these lawyers have at least gotten an opportunity to try to get the evidence together and make their case? Well, that's not how courts work. Courts aren't used to sort of dig up information. You have to have some ABCs before you come to court. You can't just sue your neighbor because you figure something is wrong over there, and you'll figure it out once you get into court. It's the other way around. The court puts the obligation on the lawyers and on their clients. Even under Rule 11, a client can be sanctioned. They have to have enough to justify using this precious, precious resource that we have, which is an independent judicial system in this country. Other parts of the world don't have it. You get justice if you can pay the court off, and pay police officers off, and pay off prosecutors. That's not how it really works here. It really is still based on law and facts, and I think that's one of the few really important aspects of our democracy that are not hanging on by a thread, frankly, because the other branches are really struggling right now.
When you look at Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and Rudy Giuliani now, and they lost 64 of 65 post-election lawsuits around the country, do you think it puts up some guardrails for the next time somebody tries this nonsense?
You know, if there are sanctions, I hope so. I mean, you know, we all driven down the street and seen a speed limit, and maybe there's never been a ticket issued for speeding. People will go 50 and a 35. But the minute the town puts one of those speed cameras behind the bushes, people slow down. And so the courts need to enforce Rule 11, or people will just blow through the speed limits and start lying to courts willy-nilly, and that hurts everyone. I mean, we're all in this together. It's not a political thing. It's not a red versus blue thing. It's, do we want to have a system that is based on accurate facts and law? And I hope, frankly, that these judges start stepping up and penalizing these high-profile lawyers for what arguably is a widespread fraud on the court. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, the New York highest court, the New York State Court, issued an opinion recently basically taking his license away to practice law in the state of New York, and went page after page citing the misstatement. So, for example, in one of the lawsuits in Pennsylvania, he argued to the judge in open court that there was a lot of fraud. Well, if you actually read his papers, he doesn't even claim fraud. So I think the argument there was you're using the courts as a bully pulpit. You're going into court to get the press coverage of fraud, 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 when you didn't even have a claim of fraud in the underlying lawsuit. That's the kind of thing courts are saying, listen, we are not stooges for this. We are not. We are a serious business, and don't come here again if you're going to do it with these bogus allegations. And so I think, I hope the courts will continue to hold, as we've seen so far in this country. They are operating for the most part pursuant to the facts and the law and not politics and not based on lies.
Professor Kimberly Whaley, thank you very much for your time. Much appreciated. Again, the book is?
How to Read the Constitution and Why. And my second book is What You Need to Know About Voting and Why. And actually, my third is coming out with HarperCollins in February of next year, and it's called How to Think Like a Lawyer and Why. So you can see a theme here, John, in my work.
You and Bill O'Reilly, similar titles.
Oh, is that right? Well, I'm standing on big shoulders, I suppose. But.
I've tried 100 cases. I prosecuted some of the most dangerous criminals in the world. I know crimes. I can smell them. You don't have to smell this one. I can prove it to you 18 different ways.